Welcome to the Women and Wealth Podcast with Esther Szabo. Esther is a respected leader in the field of personal financial advice with over 25 years of experience. After going through her own significant and challenging life-changing events, she overcame fear and self-doubt to launch her own successful advisory firm. Now Esther is ready to share her practical and personal experiences to help other women clear their hurdles and brave life's transitions. In this way, she inspires women to lead fulfilling and confident lives.
Hello and welcome to Women and Wealth with Esther Szabo from Gates Pass Advisors. Today, we're going to be covering a topic titled, So, You Want to Be Self-Employed. And Esther, that's a great title. I love that.
Thank you, Eric. I'm really excited to be talking about this today. It's something I'm very passionate about, having been self-employed for, about 20 years now myself.
Yeah, it takes me back to, I kind of think of high school. I think some of our educational films were titled very similarly. So you want to go to college, you know, it's kind of those kind of things. And some of them are really fun and some of them are real cheesy. But this is a pretty serious topic. I mean, self-employment is a huge step for anybody. So where do we start today? I mean, what are we covering in this podcast?
We'll be covering a lot of things, and from what do we need to consider? What's the business planning, financial planning, and what's our motivation for doing it in the first place?
All right. When you talk about motivation, what examples do you have for us?
Well, it's really, why do I want to launch this business? So many people look at self-employed people and go, oh gosh, I want that flexibility. Mm. You're so flexible when you have your own business. And that is true and not true.
If they only knew.
Exactly. When I'm on the weekend, when I'm out of town, it's very, and especially in this day and age, it's very difficult to unhook from the business. Yep. So you're flexible in a way, but you're very tied at the same time. Mm-hmm. So it's important to know, why do I want to do this? Is it because I feel I have a special expertise that really needs expression, and this is the best format to do it in? Is it because I want to take a leadership role in my career? It sort of ties with that special expertise, mm-hmm. but it's my experience and knowledge such at this point that really I need to be the leader of a practice in terms or a business in order to really share what is most important that I see for clients to know. Is it just, I need to make money? Esther, you told me, you know, as we looked through my financial planning, that I have a shortfall if I want to achieve all my goals and I really want to make money and I don't think I can work for anyone else anymore. But what is it? Because it's so important. For me, it was really about those things that I spoke about a moment ago, was that expertise and the self-expression and the leadership. Making money, sure, that needs to happen for my own planning, but it wasn't solely the motivator. And it's so important because every day will not be a fun day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every true. Day will not be a, yay, I'm so flexible and this is so wonderful and I'm expressing myself and people love my leadership and it's so fabulous. It's, you know, there's very many challenging days, and it really is important to hold that vision about why it's important to you to do it. So that is the first thing to really get clear on. Why do I want to launch this business?
And it can be more than one thing, but when somebody sits down and looks at these examples you gave, it just kind of looking off my list here that I wrote down, you said special expertise, you've got self-expression, leadership, you want to make money. Maybe there's a combination of a couple different things, but once somebody has sat down and said, okay, why do I truly want to do this? And they've identified it, what's the next step?
There's a lot. First is really looking at business planning. I think when clients have shared with me, yeah, I really want to launch my own business, I'm tired of working for somebody else. Mm-hmm. I go, okay, that's great. That's your motivation. I want to work for myself. I will often ask, okay, what's your business plan? What will you need to spend to launch your business? And too often I hear, you know what? I'm really not sure. I can ask, well, when will you start being able to earn money from this business? Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
So it's really important to sit down and map some of these things out. I sure wish, because I'm, again, it's not fun to do, but it will really give the answers. So what will it cost to launch the business? If it's a business where I need to rent space, how much is it going to cost me to rent the space? And that really depends on what your business is, of course, where you will be meeting clients and what kind of presentation you need. Even if you are only going to meet clients online, and these days that is possible, and I certainly have more meetings online myself, but what is your internet connectivity where you're looking, whether it's at your home or in a conference space somewhere? That's so important. My sister lives in a rural area of Northern California. It's beautiful, beautiful space, beautiful place. But she has to rent office space because rural areas do not have terrific internet connectivity.
Correct.
Even that is important. And when you're looking at renting space, it's so important to have somebody else look over the lease. And by somebody else, I mean a real estate attorney who's familiar with contracts and contract law and has looked over tons and tons of leases, because they're not written in language that A, is that stimulating, or B, for those of us who don't do it all day, we're going to miss things. And it's important to see what's included in the lease, what's not, when are the rent increases going to be. Every year, it's very possible that besides the rent increase, there is an increase just for what's called the common area charges, you know, what they set aside for maintenance, what about for cleaning and all of that. And so it's not unusual that you get an extra bill each year for the difference between what things did cost and what they assumed they would cost.
Yeah, got it.
So that's one, just again, just I'm still talking about business planning. The other is, what is the entity that you're going to do the business through? The worst is to do it just as yourself, because your assets can all be attached if you are sued. If there's some issue, and it doesn't take much in this day and age for someone to say, well, they didn't like this or they opposed that, and to unfortunately litigate. And so there are different types of business entities. This is not going to be a podcast about business entities, but it is so important to review. Is it, does an LLC make sense? Does an S corp make sense? Does a C corp make sense? All of them have costs attached to them in terms of setting them up and maintaining them. And it's really a review with a tax professional and an attorney as well, to say what makes the most sense in terms of the type of work I'm going to be doing and what structure makes the most sense.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many different things that we just don't know. And that's because we aren't the attorney, right? I mean, that's what they're for. And there's just so many things to consider, and to go into it blindly or just, well, I heard an LLC is the best thing for me, so that's what I want to create, or I want to create an S corp because that's what I, you know, my buddy told me that that's the best thing for me. Your buddy doesn't know. Your buddy, right. Unless your buddy's an attorney, you gotta consult somebody who actually does know what will be the best for your exact situation. So that's incredibly important.
It's really true. And attorneys are not, and I guess how I grew up or whatever I watched on television, there's always this animosity about attorneys that most people think, well, they're just going to charge me a lot of money. I don't want to spend a lot of money. And the ones that I bring in to engage with on my clients, et cetera, it's often, it's a discussion on their particular expertise back. It doesn't need to cost, quote unquote, lots and lots of money. It can prevent a very costly mistake down the road.
Exactly.
Beyond that, it is important, still sticking on the topic of the attorneys, what legal agreements need to be in place. I mean, we just talked about the lease, if somebody is leasing space, but especially with partnerships, especially with that, it's so important. Whether the partnership is a colleague, whether it's a spouse, or a family member, it's really important, even more so, honestly, if it's a family member of some kind, to have really clear instructions about the thing that none of us want to think about. But what do we do if, for some reason, this partnership comes to an end? Mm-hmm. I've been through it twice. I had a business partner who passed away unexpectedly. And then I was in a partnership before I launched this practice. And going through it, neither of them were horrible experiences, but it does really matter what is written in the agreement to help navigate the transition, because in both of those cases, I was continuing on with my practice and my work. And when you're looking at, you know, just anything with transition, there's additional work to be done. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be caught doing even more work because an agreement wasn't worded well. And then in the middle of a transition, you have to sort out with somebody else. And it can be an emotionally challenging time just because it's change. And to you don't want to be going through, okay, well, what do we do about this, that, and the other at the same time you're trying to set something else up. I highly recommend if there's a partnership that there be one, if not two, business attorneys involved, one for each of the partners or however many there are, and that one has their own representation, if you will, not because of place of animosity towards the partners, but for clarity, for understanding, so that attorney can say, this is how it's going to look if you separate.
Mm-hmm. We figured out our why, right? Why do we want to do this?
Right.
We have gone through, we've researched our rental spaces if we need it. We researched what our business, how our business is going to run or where it's going to run out of. We've done some research and gotten some help with determining what kind of entity we need to be. And we now have finished our legal agreements and they look good and we've got some help with that. What is the next thing that we have to consider?
Well, this is where the financial planning comes in. It is really saying, okay, what do we need when we open the doors of our business? What do we need to have available? If we're renting a space, do we need furniture? Do we need desks, artwork, places for people to sit? I know when I launched this practice, one of the things that I really, really wanted were stand-up adjustable desks for everybody. Mm-hmm. And they are not cheap, but I hope I never have to sit at a desk all day long. I just love the ability to move the desk up and down. And So that was an additional cost. And it wasn't just for me. I wanted it for all the staff.
Yeah. And it's funny because you really need to be able to identify that for your business specifically. If you're a rustic coffee shop, cinder blocks and 2x4s are fantastic benches, right? If you're an attorney, cinder blocks and 2x4s aren't going to be the greatest thing that your clients are going to want to see when they walk in for seating purposes. So there's a lot to consider.
There's a lot to consider, and just the equipment that you might need, filing space, even though a lot is online for us, we scan a lot, but there's still some hard copy documents that it's just easier as a go-to to pull the hard copy document than pull a variety of different scanned pieces together. Beyond that, it's, you know, what vendors will you need? Who will you use? Communications is a huge thing. Mm-hmm. And we have a variety of communications vendors. So you may have, okay, what's the vendor whose service you'll use for your communications? What about your phone systems? What will you use? What about your computers? And what protection do you have for your computers? Because everyone's, you know, you're being hacked or attempted to be hacked all the time, every day. How are you going to protect your client's information from getting hacked? What about simple things like bookkeeping? And what about your copier, which is also your scanner? Pulling these things together, it all takes time to do it and to sort out, gosh, how much do these things cost? A copier is an incredibly expensive piece of equipment. Mm. I could be driving a very fancy car for what I spend on the copier each month, at least through this lease period. And then I'm going to be reevaluating shortly. But yeah. I had no idea what a copier cost until I had my own business. I just thought, well, it's a thing. It's there. Just what's the big deal? But they're very expensive.
Mm. Again, there's different levels as well. So when you look at, you know, do you have somebody in your organization that is incredibly tech savvy and can help you with your computer systems? Well, that's great. If you don't, then you got to look at some sort of protection plan or a service that you can maybe subscribe to that these folks will come out and fix your computer issues within a short amount of time, within a 4-hour window or an 8-hour window, because you do have to keep running as a business. And those are things that people don't think about. Well, I need to buy a computer. Great. What happens if it breaks?
Right.
You've got to have some backup plans. You've got to have that written into your budget. I mean, there's all sorts of different things to consider, and somebody on the outside can help you see those things. So that's always nice to get an accountability partner in this.
It's really true. And that sounds like the voice of experience speaking, Eric.
Slightly. Yeah. I've been coaching and consulting businesses for many, many, many years. And that's one of the things that people just don't realize. They're like, I spent my entire day dealing with the phone system being down.
Yes.
That really cuts into your profits. If you can't answer client calls or you have to go someplace else to make phone calls and somebody has to come in and work. And it's really tough.
It's really tough and it's so disruptive, like you said.
Exactly. And then I know that you'd mentioned earlier protection, right? And that brings us kind of to an insurance issue. There's a lot of things with that, depending on if you're renting space, if you're leasing space, if you own a building, all the equipment. What about insurance?
Insurance is really, really critical. As I say to my clients, I'm not a fan of insurance. I hate paying for something that I hope I never have to use, but boy, does it come in handy, and it's really, really important. So there's insurance for the stuff you have in your office. We are in Northern California, so there's often discussion about earthquakes, even though lately it's been more the fires. But earthquakes, we have a whole business continuity plan that we maintain in terms of, well, what happens if we can't work from the office? But that's separate from the insurance about, well, how will the stuff be covered? But further in my industry, we have cybersecurity insurance just in case anybody does get through. And we have very, very complex systems to protect client data. But, you know, if there's a cybersecurity issue, what about if there's errors and omissions? If some client is not happy with some part of advice, or that's a very standard coverage in my industry to have errors and omissions. Again, all of those things add up and they're very important. I would certainly not recommend that anyone go without the insurance coverages that are really critical for them in their own particular business or service.
Yep. Now the new entrepreneur is in their office. They've got all this equipment. They've got insurance coverage. They've got everything in place, but they're all alone. They're all by themselves. They wear that one hat that they do all these different jobs, but if they're blessed and they're lucky enough, they're going to be able to either hire staff or they're going to start their company or business with staff. Mm-hmm. And then you have a whole nother tangle of a web, if you will, with human resources and staffing and how that all works and all the things that pour into that. What advice do you have for that?
Yeah, this is often why couples go into business together. They go, well, we can trust each other, or family members for the same reason, and don't have to go through the whole issue of hiring. It does have its own set of issues and challenges, but staffing your business is incredibly critical. You have to look at, what roles am I going to need to fill? And even if you say, well, I quote unquote, I'm doing air quotes right now, just need a receptionist to answer the phone while I'm out, and I don't want to hire a service for that. I just want someone in the office to receive packages or anything. That is not an easy role to fill. Mm-hmm. It's we're in a time right now where unemployment is at historic lows. It is very challenging to find workers. So start on that search sooner rather than later. What are the skill sets that I need? What do I need? Do I need a technical person? Do I need a person with X amount of experience? Do I need someone who's a good communicator? What are the different skill sets that are important to fill? And then looking at, what is the compensation package I need to provide? What about insurance for these employees? Do they need health insurance? Do I want that as part of my package? Do I want people who can work from home? Do I need them to work here? And looking at the competitive landscape for all of that, again, it's a very challenging job market right now here in Northern California. And so it's important to take the time to look at that piece of thing. What training will they need? And once they're here, what career pathing do they want? What will keep them interested and engaged?
Esther, large companies have entire HR departments. They've got an entire department. It's run by a very knowledgeable staff. And that's something that a lot of small business owners don't think about. The reason they are quote unquote knowledgeable staff is because there are a lot of rules and laws, federal and state, that the companies have to abide by when they're hiring, firing, and staffing people. How do you approach that subject as far as the laws are concerned?
That's really critical. Here in California, it's very important to adhere. There's very strict laws around human resources, around how many hours a day people work, the breaks they get, lunch, hours, payment. Like many of these different areas, I engage a consultant to assist me with these things. I do not try and open the law books and figure it out myself. It's not really an area that fascinates me too much. Other areas do, but that's not one. Mm-hmm. And it's much better use of my time to utilize consultants for human resources consultants for, you know, the tax planning, the vendors for IT. I have a lot of people, professional people behind the scenes who I engage to support the work that I do. And it is well worth the time saved to pay them for their expertise.
All right. Now we've added staff to our list as something we've accomplished. Do we have a business now, Esther, or is there something else we have to do?
Well, we have to find our clients. So we're not quite there yet.
Customers. Yes, that's definitely right. Something to check off your list.
Who's going to be paying, you know, the revenue into this business? How are we going to obtain our clients? What's the marketing strategy? As much as we're fabulous and we have wonderful things to share and to talk about, it's not like we open a door or launch a podcast and everyone comes rolling in. It's very important to know what is your runway to obtaining the clients, mm-hmm. so that you can know, well, how long will it take me to have a revenue stream coming in to pay for the ongoing needs of the business, let alone pay me back for what I've put into starting the business, and then to continue on and grow, how many clients are needed, how is one going to meet the needs of the clients? What are the costs? Going back again to costs for advertising, networking, doing presentations, getting yourself out there. Mm-hmm. And as we're looking at all of these expenses, it leads to the next question. It's like, well, how is one going to pay for this? Are you going to finance it yourself? I know in my first partnership, we launched in 1999 and the market crashed. The tech bubble meltdown happened in March of 2000. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I used some home equity money to launch our business in 1999. And we were like, okay, that's okay, my husband and I. And then when the market crashed in 2000, it was down again in 2001. Down again in 2002. And the idea had never crossed my mind before that I wouldn't be able to pay those funds back. And I was able to pay them back. But when you're in a challenging time in your mm-hmm. business and you have outstanding debt, it's scary.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you're looking at self-funding, you have to look at it. And that's how I work with clients. So we look at, okay, if everything goes well, this is how it looks. Now let's do some stress testing. What does it look like if you don't get the clients or the revenue that you anticipate? How long can you self-fund things for a period of time? What are your reserves? Does it make sense to have a line of credit in place? And how do you pay it off as you need to? When, at what points do you pay it off? And those are really the main pieces. If it's home equity, and home equity lines they're easier to get than they were 10 years ago, but one typically still needs W-2 income to be able to qualify for one. Mm-hmm. So if neither spouse, in the case of spouses, my husband wasn't part of this other business, he just was supportive of me in it. But if neither spouse has W-2 income, it's going to be hard to get loans from a bank for a business. They're going to need to see success in the business typically before they go ahead and loan on it. Mm-hmm. So how is this going to be funded? So with all of this, again, it's we as financial planners who are also financial advisors, portfolio managers, we can be seen from the financial planning part as, well, you're not that much fun. This is why I think in our industry, unfortunately, so much emphasis is placed on the stock and bond management. It is, as I've said before, it's very important that your portfolios are managed well, but so much of the nuts and bolts of really what makes someone successful is in the nitty-gritty of helping people navigate through answering these questions and resolving them before launching a practice or a business. Because self-employment is really a wonderful journey. It requires, though, very thoughtful planning, and the planning doesn't necessarily stop. It is an ongoing practice, but you could, because you won't be able to think of everything.
Yeah.
Just like in a personal financial plan, you can't think of everything that's going to happen in your life. In a personal business plan, you can't think of it all either in advance, but the more you have a foundation of understanding, the more prepared one will be for the curveballs that will come, and they will come. But moving through them and succeeding is what's the prize. But you do need to have a foundation from which to move.
Yeah, absolutely. It does drive me bananas as well that you see these commercials and it starts out with a couple in their mid-30s, maybe early 40s. They're talking about, this is your retirement planning. This is where you need to start because here's where you want to finish. And then they show this couple on a boat in the middle of the ocean. It's like you didn't show anything in between, right? What happened in those 25 to 30 years? You know, how many of their kids got married? How many of their, you know, how many businesses did they try to start or succeed at or fail at? It makes no sense to me that it's just all about if you put money every month into this account, you'll be on a boat in the ocean. Oh, come on. I love the fact that you really, really drove that point home for the in-between, right? That's what a true financial planner is for. And for everything in between. And so I encourage everybody to reach out to Esther. Esther, do me a favor. Can you throw your phone number on this podcast for me?
650-797-0280.
Awesome. Do you have any additional closing thoughts for today?
I think mainly just like with everything, this maybe does not sound like fun, but move forward just a little bit. Do that first part that we started. What is the motivation for launching the business? Really get clear on that and go from there.
Yeah. And it can be fun. It really, really can be fun.
It's very satisfying.
It is. And it can be fun if you do it the right way and get it set up and you see those small wins all along the way, all the little things that you've put in place, those little wins are huge accomplishments. So it can definitely be fun. Thank you all for having fun with us today on the Women in Wealth podcast with Esther Szabo. If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please click the subscribe now button below. This way, when Esther comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. It also makes it much easier to share these podcasts with your friends and family. Again, thanks for listening today. For everyone at Gates Pass Advisors, this is Eric Johnson reminding you to live your best day every day. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Women and Wealth podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you receive notifications of new podcasts as they become available. Check out the website at www.gatespassadvisors.com for more information. This content is developed from sources believed to be providing accurate information. The information in this material is not intended as tax or legal advice. Please consult legal or tax professionals for specific information regarding your individual situation. The opinions expressed and material provided are for general information and should not be considered a solicitation for the purchase or sale of any security.